This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. I think it's appropriate at this stage to, don't you think, to share some Christmas jokes? Don't you think? I love your enthusiasm. But I do think it's one of my responsibilities is to keep you up to date with current humour. So how will Christmas dinner be different after Brexit? No Brussels. What's David Cameron's favourite Christmas song? All I want for Christmas is EU. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Prince Philip looks out of the window on Christmas Eve. That's some reindeer, he says. Yes, darling, she replies, 63 years. I had to buy Alison a Mary Berry cookbook for Christmas because I tried to get Paul Hollywood's, but he'd sold out. Yeah? It's good, that. That's clever. Yeah, you like that one. That's clever. Yeah. Why didn't Roy Hodgson go to visit Santa at the North Pole? He couldn't get past Iceland. Yes. What's the difference? This is for my American friends. What's the difference between the clementine in your Christmas stocking and Donald Trump? Nothing. But they're both a little orange. Why is Bob Dylan's sleigh so quiet? Because it has a no bell? No bell? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do snowmen leave the EU? They trigger icicle 50. What does Nigel Farage do to the hall with bows of holly? He decks it. Okay, that's enough. Phew, they say. That's very grateful. I've even reduced the children to tears. So, we're on a theme at the moment for over Christmas of called There Is Another King. And we've looked at different aspects of this, and today the theme is There Is Another King Before Whom All Will Bow. We worship kings and queens today. Everybody does, somewhere in their lives, whether it's the king within or the megastar without, whether it's the powers of this world or simply a seductive secular worldview. And Jesus came as a poor baby, as a humble man, but we believe that he is actually the King of all kings, as we've been singing, the King of kings, who has come to set us free from sin and break the power of death. And therefore, he is worthy of our worship and our allegiance. He is one who is not of this world, but one before whom every knee will bow. Now, I want to tell you a story, and it's an interesting story from the Bible because it's about cosmic organizational structure. Yeah? You want to know more? It's a riches to rags to riches story. First of all, do you know who this person is? Anybody recognize her? You probably don't. She's Ms. Sidhu Rob. She and her husband were multimillionaires in the 90s, made an absolute packet in the property boom in the 90s, owned a 10-bedroomed house in Belgravia, drove many cars, Ferraris and such, had a private jet. And things didn't. But eventually their firm went bust, and they actually got evicted because they didn't keep up their mortgage payments. And the marriage broke up. And she found she lost all her friends. She had to sell all her jewelry. And there was one person left who would take her and her three children into a single-room house where she slept on the sofa and the kids shared a bed. And she started again, and she worked several jobs and eventually built up a business delivering organic food and is now back rich again. She said her goddaughter, who nominated her for an award she got at Downing Street, the Exceptional Working Mother Award. I didn't know there was one. The Exceptional Working Mother. Her goddaughter nominated said, I watched her go from up high to down low and then back up again. It's a riches to rags to riches story, and the Bible has many stories like this. Right at the beginning, Adam and Eve, although they lived in paradise. Oh, by the way, what did Adam say the day before Christmas? What did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. Okay. Right at the beginning. Anyway, he was living in paradise, okay? And what did they do? They weren't happy with paradise. They grasped for the knowledge of good and evil. It says that God said that you could have anything you like in this garden, but don't eat from that tree where it'll be the knowledge of good and evil. It'll make you like me. And they grasped for that equality. And they ended up humiliated. Riches to rags. And yet the good news of Christmas is that Adam and Eve, though they're representative of us and we're in the rags, we're offered another choice, another chance, a second choice, which can see us restored to riches. And it's all because of another riches to rags to riches story, one with a difference. And this one's told in the form of a song, in many ways to the Bible, but in particular in a song in one of Paul's letters. You'll need a Bible because I'm going to do a little bit of a Bible study. Have our welcome team got some Bibles? If you haven't brought your Bible with you or you don't possess one, the welcome team have got some Bibles. They'll be very, very glad to give them to you. Just stick your hand up and they'll pass these Bibles out. You might have it on your device. You might have it in book form. I don't tend to use a translation of the ones that's already in the pews, so you might want to use one of these if you haven't got one. And I'd like you to open the Bible, turn right, and go to Philippians. You can use the contents schedule to find out where it is. In the New Testament, the right-hand side, you go past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the Acts, and then Romans and Corinthians, and a couple of books along, or letters along, is Philippians. So this is written by Paul. Paul was a missionary and an apostle in the... Stick your hand up if you need a Bible. They're still available. Was an apostle and a missionary in the first century, and he went all around Turkey and Asia Minor and Greece and Italy, planting churches, and he'd write letters back to them to advise them and to provide counsel to them. And one of the letters he wrote back to one of the churches was a letter to the Philippians. We're going to read what he says in chapter 2. And the context for this is that he's trying to tell them how to behave. He's trying to say, this is how you behave with one another. This is how you treat each other. Take your example from Jesus, he says. And then he goes off into this song, which it could have been a song that they sang, a worship song, but it sounds more like his language. I think he probably wrote it. Verse 5. Be like this, he says, in your relationships with one another. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature, the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore is always an important word. You have to look at what it's there for. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Keep your finger in there. We're going to spend some time looking at that. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right. It's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. We thank you for that amazing song, Lord, and we ask you to speak to us through it. We just lift up before you thoughts at this time about what's going on in Syria and Aleppo. We just turn our thoughts there and we ask, we don't understand it. It seems beyond our capacity to do anything, but we ask you to grant your mercy on the people who are suffering there, particularly the children. We pray for wisdom and resource for the people who can make a difference, for the politicians and diplomats. We just ask for your mercy to come. And we pray for those in our country who are going to, for whom Christmas is not a fantastic time, who are lonely or in difficult places. And we, just in a moment, let's think of somebody we know who is not going to have a great Christmas. Maybe they're ill or on their own or just in a bad place. Let's just pray for them silently. And we thank you for what you're doing in the Vineyard here. We thank you for the Christmas services last week and the wonderful events that they were. We thank you for your generosity to us and the giving of the people of this church week in, week out through standing orders and the like. Thank you for what you're doing here. And I pray that you'll anoint this word and we may hear your voice through it. Amen. So it's a riches to rags to riches story. And this one is about Jesus Christ, but it's one that has a couple of crucial differences from the usual riches to rags to riches story. Look at this graphic. This is the first one. It starts up here, and it says in verse 6, if you look at, put your finger on verse 6, it says, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. The older translation, some of you may have slightly older versions, which say, did not consider equality to be grasped. Bit like I described Adam and Eve grasping at equality early on. And whereas the traditional riches to rags to riches story starts with something going wrong, bad fortune or poor judgment or greed, in the story of Jesus, who is the ultimately rich and on top, it's come down to choice. He chooses to go from riches to rags. Very different from the rest of those stories. And you could say, more than just chooses to be poor, he embraces destruction. He embraces broken humanity, knowing where it goes, knowing what it leads to. There are three key words here, well, two key words. When it says in being very nature, the word is morphe, from which we get morphology. And it's the form of, the exact imprint of what God is like. So we look at God, we look at Jesus, we see the same thing, cookie cutter. And then it's got the word kenosis, which means to, it's like to empty yourself, to relinquish. And he takes that form and he relinquishes it. And he puts to one side the rights and privileges of God's nature. And then it says he takes on the form, morphe, of a servant, humanity. And so we look at Jesus the man, and we see man, mankind. It's not gender specific, it's humanity. We look at Jesus as God, and we see God. And he puts aside one, and he takes on the other in this story of riches to rags, back to riches. In Colossians chapter 1, it says this. This is another letter that Paul wrote to a different church. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Definitely the riches. He was up there. Verse 9, it says in Philippians chapter 2, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. So we have that first decision, which is Jesus, who is right up there, who chooses to take on destruction, to take on poor. And then it says, in the middle of that, we get that word, therefore. Therefore, God exalts him back up again. Therefore, verse 9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. And whereas the traditional riches to rags to riches story has the rags to riches bit being as a result, like that woman, of hard work and success and luck and the things that come to bring accumulation and power, in this story, Jesus' elevation comes not as a result of any of that, but precisely because he's given everything away. He sacrificed everything. And because he has shown sacrificial love, he is identified by God as being godly, because that's what God's like. Do you get it? And so he says, therefore, because He gave up everything. Therefore, he sees that Jesus is God and he elevates him. Therefore, he is exalted. The two crucial turning points in the story, indeed in history, the descent from glory to poverty and then the turn back to even higher glory, where he returns as God again, but God who is man. And the first comes as a result of Jesus' choice, and the second comes as God's recognition of that choice. Paul is drawing a contrast here between Adam and Eve, like I said at the beginning, the Adam and Eve and the choices they made, and Jesus. So Adam and Eve reached out for the tree in the Garden of Eden to become like God. They grasped at it, whereas Jesus put that aside. Adam and Eve represent us, and they grasp for more, and we try and use it for our advantage. That's what we're like. We try to accumulate more, to gain control, to be in charge of our lives, to secure my rights, my privileges, what I want. We're always tempted to disobey God because I want to do what I like. I want this. This is the way I want my career to go. This is who I want to be with. Compare Jesus. Despite being there at the creation of the world in harmony with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, he chooses to forgo that equality and take on broken humanity. He chose to decline the trappings of divinity and instead to live our life, to experience our spiritual and emotional and physical pain and trauma and loss. Not only that, he choosing that obviously means the destruction of life. Death is part of that choice. But he chose a specific death. He chose the death of crucifixion, which the Romans, when they chose how to kill people, their preferred method was crucifixion because it inflicted extreme pain and extreme humiliation. You got no lower than hanging naked on a cross. And Jesus chose that depth of degradation. His life was destroyed. He chose even that for our sakes. And in making those two choices, what does he reveal? He reveals the extent, the depth, the incredible sacrificial quality of God's love for me and for you. That's how much he loves you. And some of you are thinking, yes, but you don't know what I'm really like. You don't know what I did yesterday or what I didn't do or what my thought life is like, what my language is like or what my aspiration. You don't know what I'm like, and I don't, but he does, and he loves you. That's how much he loves you. And it says, therefore he is exalted and worshipped, and therefore every knee will bow before him because of what he has done. Because he did not grasp, but gave up. He did not use to his own advantage, but he surrendered. Because he chose suffering and death rather than paradise and life. And therefore he's demonstrably worthy to be noted as the King of Kings. As it says in verse 11, every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 10 says, if you look at that, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. This is the cosmic reshuffling of the hierarchy going on here. He is elevated to a place that is above everything. He is above the powers that are under the earth, which is, amongst other things, symbolic of death and the work of the enemy. He is above the powers on the earth, which is our kingdoms and empires and our hearts. And he is above the heavens and all the hosts of heaven too. If you look at another book in the Bible, one called Hebrews, written to the Jewish population using quite Jewish imagery, but it says this, it's very interesting, in Hebrews 2 verse 9, we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It's a thought, isn't it? Adam grasped and was humiliated. Jesus allows himself to be humiliated and is glorified. Let's move on. What's the point of our encounter with Jesus, with this King before whom we'll bow? Today we encounter him at the bottom of the valley. That's our today, at the bottom of the valley, in this riches to rags to riches story. We count to him as a baby born into the surroundings of poverty, and we watch him live and express God's likeness in our humanity as a servant. And then we see him choose death, death on a cross. And then indeed we witness his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, but we do not yet see him there, because we are here at this point, the bottom of the valley, the time of rags. But here's the thing. This is not just Jesus' story. This can be your story too. This can be your story too. This is God's incredible mission, his plan of salvation. We have fallen from riches to rags when Adam and Eve chose to grasp for more. But this is the plan of salvation. Listen to this. This is what Paul writes in a letter to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, may become rich. What an amazing promise. That this story, this incredible story, sacrificial story, can become our story. We have the choice now to die to ourselves, to bow before Jesus, the baby in the manger, the bringer of good news, the healer of the sick, the liberator of the oppressed, the self-sacrificing one, the risen one. We have the choice. This is what Peter, one of the disciples, says in one of his letters. Humble yourselves, therefore, he says, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Jesus' story is our story, if we will humble ourselves and bow down. And the promise is that you will be made rich. You'll be lifted up. You can be forgiven and made whole again today. You can enjoy a purpose and a meaning you've never known before. Eternal life. It's remarkable. It's not rich in the sense of money. It's rich in the sense of what your life is for and how long your life is going to be lived. It's an incredible promise. We don't need to stay at the bottom of the valley. Some of us feel like we're there. We feel like our lives are a wreck. And technically they are. But the promise is that we can take on his story and we can bow before him and be raised up again through Jesus. That's the good news. And Jesus went through that humiliation of crucifixion because he loves us. His love is so deep and so profound that he was willing to surrender equality with God to come and be with us, to rescue us. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Why? Because you're loved. You're deeply loved. Do you hear that? Can you see that? Do you know it? That you're deeply loved. In my work as a pastor, I preach this all the time, and we talk it all the time, and then it's in the Bible all the time. And yet when I talk to people one-on-one, they can't believe it. The enemy stops them hearing it. I really want you to know how much Jesus loves you. And my prayer is that he will reveal himself to you and his love to you. And that ultimate demonstration of his love, of his sacrifice, is what proves him to be worthy of all worship and has exalted him to a position far above. I know that not everyone bows today, but someday all will bow. Why don't we bow today? Rather than choosing to grasp, rather than choosing to seek advantages, let's choose to bow. And you can be restored into an intimate relationship with the King of Kings, your Creator. You can be raised up from our earthly humiliation and our loneliness, and we can see his face, and we can know that we are forgiven and loved and restored forevermore. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Say, yes, David, it's a wonderful promise. Let me conclude. We worship kings and queens today. Everybody does. Whether it's the king within or the megastar without. Whether it's the powers of this world or just a seductive secular worldview. But those who are humbly repentant and gratefully redeemed are discovering that there is another king. One who is not of this world, whose kingdom will never end, who alone is truly worthy of our worship, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And we choose not to grasp, but to bow before this other king, the king above all kings, exalted above the highest place. We choose to bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Why don't we stand? I'm just going to pray. We're just going to stand. You've been sitting a long time. I mean, you don't have to stand. You can sit if you want. But standing makes us a little more available to God in a way. So let's just ask him to come. And we believe that we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to come and be with us right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And I just want to pray with some of you who may be wanting to say, right, today I need to bow on the knee. I need to stop putting myself first and grasping for something, but I need to bow the knee. I need to acknowledge who Jesus is. So pray this with me, if that's you. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm in a not a very good place. And I'm so grateful that to be able to welcome you into this world that you chose to step into. I thank you for your sacrifice for me. I thank you for your love for me. And for your forgiveness and mercy. And I choose to bow and not to grasp today. I choose to honor you as the King and my Lord. And I receive your forgiveness. And I wait for you to lift me up. To show me what I'm really for. To give me hope for new life and for eternal life. Grow in me a conviction of the person you made and the purpose for which you made me. And I will promise to follow you as best I can. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Let's stay in a place of prayer. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. Come, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. let him come. So during the morning, we've worshipped some amazing songs and words, and you've heard the scriptures taught and other things. The Lord might be prompting you about something. Give him space now just to come and speak to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless what you're doing. Bless what you're doing. There are some people here who are in fallow ground. I'm not sure of my agriculture here, but what I take this to mean is that nothing much seems to be going on. Everything seems to have died down and stopped for a while. That's what needs to happen over winter, I think. And you're worried about that because it feels like you're not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. And I'd encourage you to get somebody to pray for you because I think the Lord's going to reveal to you what the next thing is. If you're open to hearing from him. We'll come back to you in a minute. And there's some others of you, when I use the word destruction, there was sort of like a spark went off. And you thought, that's me, my life feels like it's being destroyed. Either through choices you've made or other people have done things to you. And you just need to know that the Lord is gracious and merciful and he will restore you. And we'd love to pray for you too. Come, Holy Spirit, let him come. It's all about to get really busy in life with Christmas, everything. Here's a moment of peace with his presence. That's it. That's it. God bless what you're doing. Some people here are so aware of the presence of God that you can hardly breathe. It's like your chest is exploding as his presence becomes real to you. Done yet. If you're engaged with God, just stay exactly as you are. If you're not, have a look around. And just if you see somebody who's engaged with God, would you just go and put a hand on their shoulder or whatever? Don't interrupt them. Just say, I bless what you're doing, God. I bless what you're doing. And then as you pray for them, if the Lord gives you something specific for them, just pray it over them. Don't give them an advice. You know, don't shout, the Lord is doing some very significant things in people right now, and we get to join in and bless it, so let's do that. Terry, the Spirit of the Lord is on you, we need to pray for you. You need to. If you're a regular here, then if you're not being prayed for, love you to just step outside of your pew and go and lay hands on somebody. Even if you've never done it before, I hereby release it in you. This is for you. Bless what you're doing. might not be able to hear much, but there's lots going on at the spiritual level. The Lord is speaking to people right now. Some people are being healed. Some lives that are in a mess have been in the process of having his mercy on them to turn them around. People are being given hope. People are receiving forgiveness right now. I bless what you're doing. That's it. Let him come. John, can you pray for Peter? As you're praying for people, as you look at them with your eyes open, ask the Lord to speak to you and to say and to give you something for them. So you say, when I look at you, I see. And ask the Lord to fill that space with his word for these people. So, Lord, we thank you for our time together here, and we ask you to be with us as we go from this place. And would you bless us this Christmas? May we hear your voice. May we know the King of Kings. May we be able to share that about the other King, the King that really is the King, to our friends and families. Would we know your presence amongst the presents and the food and the drink? May we be able to celebrate with you amongst us. I ask that you bless this community in the next few days. If you'd like us to pray for you specifically about something and you're not being ministered to, just come to the front and I'll find somebody to pray for you. Otherwise, thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Those of you who returned from college and trips abroad and stuff, thank you for coming. It's great to see you. God bless. Don't forget to pick up your children.